This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
My fiance and her parents publicly mocked my late mother at rehearsal dinner, so I called off the wedding in front of all without a second thought. I'm 33, and until recently, I was engaged to Lydia, a woman I honestly thought I'd spend the rest of my life with. I met her about 6 years ago through mutual friends at a cookout. She had this great smile, was quick with a joke, and we just clicked. I didn't think twice when I decided to propose a year ago. It felt like the right time, the right person. At the time, I wasn't just marrying Lydia. I was also, in a way, marrying her family. Her parents, Jack and Donna, are the kind of people who love to be the center of attention. They're loud, opinionated, and always seem to have a comment about everything. At first, I thought it was just their personality, but over time, I started seeing how their entitlement bled into everything they did. Before we dive into what went down, let me talk about my mom. Her name was Patricia, and she was, hands down, the best person I've ever known. She passed away 2 years ago after battling cancer for 3 brutal years. Watching her fight that disease and still find ways to put other people first was humbling. She taught me so much about kindness, generosity, and standing up for what's right. My mom wasn't just my rock, she was a lifeline for a lot of people. She had this way of stepping in and helping people without making them feel embarrassed or indebted, like she'd just quietly do what needed to be done. That included Lydia's family. Jack and Donna owe so much to her, but you wouldn't know it by how they talk about her now. Back when I first introduced Lydia to my mom, it went well enough. My mom liked Lydia, she told me so, and Lydia seemed polite. But as things got more serious, it became obvious that Lydia didn't really get along with my mom. It wasn't anything dramatic, just small comments here and there, like how Lydia would call my mom overly involved or a little too eager to help. It rubbed me the wrong way, but I figured it was just nerves or Lydia trying to adjust to being part of a new family. The thing is, my mom did a lot for Lydia's family. Years ago, when their restaurant was on the verge of shutting down, my mom co-signed a loan to help them out. No one else would take that risk, but my mom believed in them. She even helped them organize their finances and put together a plan to make the business profitable again, and it worked. The restaurant survived, and Jack and Donna were able to keep their livelihood. But it didn't stop there. When their restaurant's industrial oven broke down, they didn't have the money to replace it. My mom paid for it outright because she didn't want them to lose business. She never asked for the money back, even though she could have used it for her own medical bills later on. That's just who she was. Then there was Lydia's older brother, Ryan. He was struggling to finish college because he couldn't afford tuition for his last semester. My mom stepped in and covered the cost so he wouldn't have to drop out. She said, "Education is one thing no one can take away from you." It wasn't just money she gave, it was time and energy. She spent hours helping Lydia's family with everything from bookkeeping advice to babysitting Ryan's kids so he could focus on studying. And let me tell you, not once did Jack, Donna, or Ryan ever thank her properly. Sure, they said thanks in passing, but there was no real acknowledgement of what she'd done for them. My mom never cared about that, though. She wasn't in it for the recognition, she just wanted to help people. When my mom passed away, I was devastated. She was my world, and losing her felt like a piece of me was gone forever. Lydia was there for me during the worst of it, or at least I thought she was. Looking back, I realize a lot of her support was more about doing the bare minimum. She'd say things like, "You need to move on, or your mom wouldn't want you to be stuck in grief," which, yeah, maybe was true, but it didn't feel comforting. It felt dismissive. Leading up to the wedding, I started noticing more red flags. Lydia was weirdly dismissive anytime I brought up my mom in conversations about the ceremony. For example, I wanted to include a small tribute to my mom during the vows, and Lydia just brushed it off, saying, "Isn't that going to make people sad? Weddings are supposed to be happy." I let it slide because I didn't want to start a fight. But little things like that kept piling up. Then there were the comments from Jack and Donna. They had this way of talking down to me, like they thought Lydia was marrying beneath her. Jack once joked about how Lydia was upgrading her life by marrying someone from a simpler background. Donna would say things like, "Well, we all make sacrifices for love," as if Lydia was doing me a favor by agreeing to marry me. It stung, but I kept my mouth shut for Lydia's sake. Looking back now, I wish I'd spoken up sooner. Maybe I could have saved myself some heartache, but I kept telling myself that once the wedding was over and the dust settled, things would get better. I couldn't have been more wrong. So, fast forward to about a month before the wedding. That's when things really started to unravel. Like I said earlier, Lydia's parents, Jack and Donna, offered to host the rehearsal dinner at this fancy restaurant they had ties to. At first, I thought it was a nice gesture. I figured maybe they were trying to smooth over all the little snide comments and awkward moments we'd had during the wedding planning. I even told myself, maybe this is their way of stepping up and showing some class. Now, a little context about this dinner. Lydia's parents didn't just offer to host it, they made a big show of how generous they were being. Donna kept bringing it up in conversations like, "Oh, we've put so much effort into making this rehearsal dinner perfect. It's going to be the talk of the town." Jack, of course, chimed in every chance he got, reminding me and everyone else that the restaurant was one of the best in the area and how we were lucky they were able to secure it. The whole thing started to feel less like a gift and more like an ego boost for them. But whatever, I was focused on making the wedding happen, so I let them take the reins on the rehearsal dinner. Big mistake. As we got closer to the date, Jack and Donna's true colors started to shine through even more. Every conversation with them turned into some kind of backhanded comment or passive-aggressive remark. For example, when I tried to confirm the guest list for the dinner, Donna rolled her eyes and said, "We'll handle it, Michael. You don't need to stress over the details. Just show up and enjoy." It was such a small thing, but it bugged me. Like, this was supposed to be our event, right? Shouldn't Lydia and I have a say in who's coming? Then there was the menu. Donna made this huge deal about how they were curating a high-end dining experience for the night. She kept saying things like, "Oh, we've got the chef to create something really special. Nothing like what you'd normally find back home, Michael." That last part was her favorite dig, back home. She loved reminding me that I wasn't from the same social circle as them. I'm from a small working-class town, and they never let me forget it. I tried to brush it off and focus on the bigger picture. I kept telling myself, "It's just one night. Smile, nod, and get through it." But even Lydia was starting to act weird. She'd always had this habit of siding with her parents on things, but in the weeks leading up to the dinner, it got worse. Anytime I brought up an idea or concern, she'd wave it off and say, "Michael, you're overthinking this. My parents know what they're doing." The thing is, it wasn't just about the dinner. It was the way they made me feel like an outsider in my own relationship. They treated me like I was lucky to even be in the room, like I should be grateful that Lydia was willing to marry me. And Lydia? She never stuck up for me. If anything, she encouraged it by laughing along or dismissing me whenever I tried to bring it up. A week before the dinner, there was this incident that should have been a huge red flag for me. Lydia and I were at her parents' house, finalizing some details for the wedding. Donna was in full control mode, flipping through seating charts and floral arrangements like she was planning a royal event. At one point, I made a suggestion about changing the centerpieces to something simpler, something my mom would have loved. Donna didn't even look up from her binder. She just said, "Oh, Patricia had interesting taste, didn't she? But this is Lydia's day. Let's keep things modern, shall we?" I froze. It was such a subtle jab, but it hit me hard. Lydia didn't say a word. She just kept scrolling on her phone like nothing had happened. I wanted to call Donna out right then and there, but I didn't want to start a fight, so I swallowed my pride and stayed quiet. Looking back, I hate that I didn't say something. It's like every little insult and slight was adding up, but I kept brushing it off because I didn't want to rock the boat. I thought I was keeping the peace. The day of the rehearsal dinner finally arrived, and I could already feel the tension in the air. Lydia and I drove to the restaurant together, and I tried to make small talk to lighten the mood. She was quiet, though, scrolling through her phone and barely responding. When I asked if she was excited, she just shrugged and said, "It's just a dinner, Michael. Don't stress. Just a dinner, right?" When we got to the restaurant, Jack and Donna were already there, acting like they owned the place. Jack was standing by the entrance, shaking hands with guests as they arrived, while Donna was busy giving instructions to the staff. The whole thing felt more like a corporate event than a family gathering. The restaurant itself was over-the-top fancy, white tablecloths, chandeliers, the whole nine yards. It was the kind of place that screams, "Look how important we are," and honestly, it just made me feel more out of place. As the guests trickled in, I started noticing something weird. Most of the people there were from Lydia's side of the family. There were maybe three or four people from my side, my dad, my sister, and a couple of close friends and relatives. Everyone else was either a relative of Lydia's or one of her parents' business associates. It was like they'd turned the rehearsal dinner into a networking event. I pulled Lydia aside and asked her what was going on. "Why aren't more of my family here?" I said. She gave me this exasperated look and said, "Michael, your family's small. My parents had to fill the room somehow. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal." That was her answer for everything. I bit my tongue and went back to mingling, but I couldn't shake the feeling that this dinner wasn't about us. It was about Jack and Donna showing off. They'd hijacked what was supposed to be a celebration of our relationship and turned it into their own personal spectacle. After everyone had eaten, the real show started, the speeches. Jack was the first one up, of course. He grabbed the mic like he was giving a keynote address at a conference, not talking about his daughter's wedding. He cleared his throat and started with, "Welcome, everyone. Tonight is about celebrating the union of two families, our Lydia and, of course, Michael." He said my name like it left a bad taste in his mouth. I was sitting there, trying to stay calm, but every word out of his mouth was a thinly veiled insult. He started talking about how proud he was of Lydia and how she's always been the star of the family. She's always known what she wanted in life and gone after it. And
we interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Now she's marrying someone who'll keep her grounded. He smirked when he said that, and I swear a couple of people chuckled. I just stared at him, wondering if I'd heard him right. Then he launched into this story about how Lydia was always a high achiever, even as a kid, and how it was a good thing she had their guidance to stay on the right track. At one point he said, "You know, we've always taught Lydia to aim high, and while Michael might not be what we envisioned at first," he trailed off, letting the sentence hang like it was supposed to be funny. I could feel my dad and sister glaring at him from across the table. Next up was Donna. She strutted to the mic like she was about to accept an award. Her speech started off okay. She talked about how much she loved Lydia and how excited she was for the wedding. But then she started making these little digs about me. She talked about how Lydia was the perfect daughter who deserved the best in life and said, "Hence, it's a good thing she's patient because she's taught Michael so much already." I almost choked on my water. What had Lydia taught me? How to bite my tongue while her parents insulted me every chance they got. Then Donna turned to me and said, "Oh, so we're so happy to welcome you into the family, Michael. It'll be nice to finally have someone who doesn't mind getting their hands dirty, right?" She laughed, and a few of her relatives joined in. I glanced at Lydia, hoping she'd step in or at least look uncomfortable, but she was smiling along with them. And just when I thought it couldn't get worse, Jack got back up to the mic. He clinked his glass and said, "One last thing before we wrap this up. I just want to acknowledge someone who's no longer with us but played a big role in shaping who Michael is, his mom, Patricia." For a split second, I thought he might actually say something kind, but no. Instead, he said, "Patricia was one of a kind. She had a habit of inserting herself into situations, didn't she? Always had an opinion about how things should be done." He laughed, and Donna chimed in, "Oh, she definitely had strong opinions. Remember how she always insisted on helping us even when we didn't ask?" I couldn't believe what I was hearing. They were talking about my mom like she was some nosy neighbor. Jack wasn't done. But in all seriousness, he said, "Patricia was a generous woman. She helped us out a lot, sometimes too much, if I'm being honest." He winked like it was some kind of inside joke. The room got quiet, but Jack just kept going. We'll be sure to keep her spirit alive at the wedding. Let's hope Michael doesn't inherit her enthusiasm for taking charge, though. We wouldn't want him meddling too much, right? That was it. I felt my face get hot, and my fists clenched under the table. I glanced at Lydia, waiting for her to say something, anything, to shut them down. But she just laughed and said, "Oh, Dad, stop," like it was all harmless fun. Harmless fun? They were mocking my mom's memory in front of a room full of people, and Lydia thought it was funny. I couldn't believe it. The worst part was that Jack and Donna acted like they were being charming. They had this smug look on their faces, like they thought everyone was laughing with them. But when I looked around the room, I could see that wasn't the case. When Jack finally sat down, the tension in the room was so thick you could cut it with a knife. The clinking of forks and glasses started again, as people awkwardly tried to move on from the train wreck of a speech. Lydia leaned over and whispered, "Are you okay?" Her tone was casual, like she was asking if I wanted more water, not if I was seething with rage. I didn't even look at her. I just nodded, my jaw clenched so tightly I thought my teeth might crack. But then Donna walked over to our table. "Michael," she said sweetly, "I hope you weren't offended. Jack and I just wanted to add a little humor to the evening. It's all in good fun." That's when something snapped in me. I couldn't stay quiet any longer. I stood up, my chair scraping loudly against the floor. "Are you serious right now?" I said, my voice low but shaking with anger. So there I was, standing in the middle of the rehearsal dinner, chair still slightly tipped back from when I stood up. The whole room had gone dead silent, like someone had muted the TV. All eyes were on me, but I didn't care. My heart was pounding and my face was hot, but I knew I couldn't just let this slide. Jack and Donna's mocking of my mom was already too much, but that fake apology from Donna? That was the final straw. "Are you serious right now?" I repeated, looking directly at Donna. She froze for a second, probably not expecting me to actually call her out. Jack looked up from his drink, like I'd just insulted him. Lydia, sitting next to me, whispered, "Michael, stop," but I ignored her. "Let me get this straight," I said, my voice louder now. "You spent the entire night taking cheap shots at my mom, the woman who helped your family when no one else would, and now you're acting like it was just a joke? You think that's okay?" Jack leaned back in his chair, folding his arms. "Relax, Michael," he said, smirking like he thought this was no big deal. "You're overreacting. It was all in good fun." "Good fun?" I shot back. "You called her meddling. You said she was too much. You mocked her generosity like it was some kind of flaw. How was that good fun?" The tension in the room was unbearable. I could see a few of Lydia's cousins looking down at their plates, clearly uncomfortable. My dad, on the other hand, was staring at Jack like he wanted to punch him. My sister had her arms crossed, glaring at Donna like she was waiting for her turn to jump in. Donna tried to laugh it off. "Oh, Michael, don't be so sensitive. We were just sharing a few stories. Everyone knows how Patricia liked to take charge." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. "Take charge?" I said, my voice rising. "She helped you. She saved your business when you were about to lose it. She paid for your oven repairs, your patio remodel, and your son's college tuition. And this is how you repay her? By turning her into some kind of joke at a rehearsal dinner?" Jack sat up straighter, clearly annoyed now. "All right, that's enough," he said, trying to sound authoritative. "We didn't mean any harm, but if you're going to throw a tantrum about it, maybe you're not ready for marriage." That comment showed just how little respect he had for me, or for my mom for that matter. Lydia finally spoke up, tugging on my sleeve. "Michael, can we just go outside and talk? Please?" I pulled my arm away. "No, Lydia, we can't. Not until your parents understand how disrespectful they've been." Donna sighed dramatically, like she was the victim in all this. "Michael, this is supposed to be a happy occasion. You're ruining the evening for everyone." "I'm ruining the evening?" I said, my voice shaking with anger. "No, Donna, you ruined it the second you decided to trash my mom in front of everyone. And Lydia, you just sat there and let it happen." Lydia's face turned red. "I didn't know they were going to say all that," she said defensively. "But you laughed," I shot back. "You laughed at every single insult. You didn't even try to stop them." At this point, the whispers in the room started picking up. People were leaning over to each other, murmuring about the scene unfolding in front of them. I could feel the weight of their stares, but I didn't care. This wasn't about them, this was about standing up for my mom. Jack stood up, clearly fed up. "All right, Michael, if you're so offended, maybe you should leave," he said, pointing toward the door. For a moment I considered it. I thought about just walking out, leaving them to their perfect little dinner. But then I looked around the room, at my dad, my sister, my few friends who had come to support me. They were all watching, waiting to see what I'd do, and I realized I wasn't going to let Jack and Donna get away with it. Not this time. "No," I said firmly. "I'm not leaving. Not until you understand what you've done." Jack opened his mouth to respond, but I cut him off. You act like my mom was some overbearing busybody, but without her, you wouldn't even have this restaurant connection. She didn't do any of that because she wanted recognition or praise. She did it because she cared. And now you're sitting here trashing her memory like it's some kind of punchline. That's not just disrespectful, it's disgusting. The room went completely silent again. Even Jack looked taken aback, like he didn't know how to respond. Donna opened her mouth, but no words came out. Lydia just sat there, staring at the table, her face a mix of embarrassment and anger. Finally, Jack muttered, "We didn't mean it like that." "It doesn't matter how you meant it," I said. "What matters is how it came across. You don't get to rewrite who my mom was just because it suits your narrative. She deserved better than that. And honestly, so do I." With that, I stepped back from the table and grabbed my coat. "You want me to leave? Fine, but don't expect me to come back." My dad stood up immediately, ready to follow me out. My sister grabbed her purse and shot one last glare at Donna before joining us. A couple of my friends stood up too, looking unsure but supportive. Lydia called after me, "Michael, wait!" But I didn't stop. I walked out of that restaurant, my head held high, even though my heart was pounding in my chest. Outside, my dad put a hand on my shoulder. "You did the right thing," he said. "Your mom would be proud." I nodded, but I didn't feel proud. I felt angry and betrayed. And I realized something. If she couldn't stand up for me or for my mom, then maybe she wasn't the person I thought she was. Part of me thought I'd done the right thing by walking out, but the other part of me couldn't shake the feeling that it wasn't enough. If I left things as they were, Lydia and her family would just spin the story to make me the bad guy. They'd frame it as me being too sensitive or overreacting. No, I couldn't let that happen. This wasn't just about me, it was about my mom, her memory, and what I stood for. I took a deep breath and turned to my dad. "I need to go back in there," I said. "What?" my sister blurted out. "Why? You don't owe them anything." "I know," I said, looking at her, "but I'm not leaving this unfinished. I need to make it clear to Lydia, to her parents, to everyone, that I'm done for good." My dad hesitated, then nodded. "If that's what you need to do, we'll back you up." "No," I said, shaking my head. "This is something I have to do on my own." My sister looked like she wanted to argue, but she held her tongue. I turned and walked back toward the restaurant. My stomach was in knots, but my mind was clear. I wasn't walking back in there to cause a scene. I was walking back in there to end things once and for all. People were whispering to each other, stealing glances at the door as I walked back in. Lydia was still sitting at the table, her face pale and her eyes wide. When she saw me, she stood up. "Michael," she said, "what are you doing?" I ignored her question and walked straight to the front of the room where Jack and Donna were still seated, looking far too pleased with themselves. Jack raised an eyebrow as I approached, clearly not expecting me to come back. Donna gave me that same fake sweet smile she'd been using all night. "Back so soon?" Jack said, his tone dripping with sarcasm. I didn't bother responding to him. Instead, I turned to face the entire room. "Excuse me, everyone," I said, loud enough for the whole room to hear. The murmuring stopped instantly, and all eyes were on me again. My heart was pounding, but I kept my voice steady. "I have something I need to say." I glanced at Lydia, who was now standing frozen by the table, her hands clasped tightly in front of her. "I know this isn't the time or place anyone expected for this, but after what's happened tonight, I don't see any reason to wait." I took a deep breath and continued. "This wedding is off." The room erupted. Gasps, murmurs, and the scraping of chairs filled the air as people turned to each other. Lydia's jaw dropped, and her hands flew to her mouth. "Michael, no," she whispered, but I held up a hand to stop her. The room was dead silent now. Even the waitstaff had stopped moving, standing frozen in the corners of the room. I turned back to the rest of the guests. "This isn't just about tonight," I said. "This is about the kind of family I'd be marrying into, a family that doesn't respect me, doesn't respect my mom, and doesn't respect the values I was raised with. I can't, and I won't, spend the rest of my life being treated like this." Jack finally found his voice. "You're making a big mistake, kid," he said, his tone dripping with condescension. "You're throwing away a good thing over nothing." I laughed bitterly. "Nothing? You think disrespecting my mom is nothing? You think treating me like I'm less than is nothing?" "No, Jack. The mistake would be going through with this wedding and tying myself to a family that doesn't deserve me." Donna looked like she was about to cry. Or maybe she was just embarrassed that their little show had backfired. "Michael," she said, her voice shaky. "Let's not make decisions in the heat of the moment. We can talk about this tomorrow when everyone's had a chance to cool down." "No," I said firmly. "We're not talking about this tomorrow or ever. This is done." I turned to Lydia one last time. Her face was streaked with tears, and she looked like she didn't know whether to scream or beg. I walked back toward the door, my footsteps echoing in the silent room. As I reached for the handle, I heard Lydia call after me one last time. "Michael, please don't do this." I paused for a moment, my hand on the door, then turned back and said, I already did. Walking out of that restaurant felt like ripping off a Band-Aid. There was a sting, sure, but the overwhelming feeling was relief. It was over. The wedding, the constant disrespect, the feeling of being second best in a family I was supposed to join. All of it was behind me. The next morning, the real fallout began. I woke up to about 100 unread messages on my phone. Most of them were from Lydia, a few were from Jack and Donna, and there were even a couple from random relatives of hers who I barely knew. The tone of the messages ranged from pleading to outright nasty. Lydia's texts were full of apologies. I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't mean to hurt you. Please just talk to me. Jack's were more aggressive. You embarrassed us in front of everyone. You'll regret this. And Donna? She tried to play the victim. I can't believe you'd do this to Lydia. She didn't deserve this. I ignored all of them. By mid-afternoon, Lydia showed up at my apartment. I knew it was coming. I'd been bracing for it all day, but that didn't make it any easier. When I opened the door, she looked like she hadn't slept. Her eyes were red, and her face was blotchy from crying. She was still wearing the dress from the night before, like she'd gone straight home and cried herself to sleep. Michael, she said softly, her voice shaking, can we please talk? I crossed my arms and leaned against the doorframe. What's there to talk about, Lydia? I made myself pretty clear last night. She flinched, like I'd slapped her, but she didn't back down. I know you're angry, and you have every right to be, she said, but we can fix this, we can work through it. I shook my head. You don't get it, do you? This isn't something we can just work through. She wiped her eyes with the back of her hand, her voice cracking as she said, I was scared, okay? I didn't know what to do. Scared of what? I asked, my frustration boiling over. Scared of upsetting your parents? Scared of making a scene? She didn't have an answer. She just stood there, crying, while I stared at her, waiting for something, anything, that would make me believe she actually understood what she'd done. But nothing came. Her eyes widened, and she took a step closer. Please, Michael, she whispered. Don't do this. We can make it work. I'll talk to my parents. I'll make them apologize. Just don't end it like this. I shook my head again. It's not just about your parents, Lydia. It's about you. Last night showed me exactly who you are, and I can't unsee it. I deserve better than this. She stared at me for a moment, her face crumpling as the reality sank in. One Saturday afternoon, I was cleaning out my mom's old keepsake box. It was something I'd held on to ever since she passed. Inside were things like her favorite necklace, a pair of earrings she used to wear to church, and a small, delicate locket with a picture of my grandmother inside. That locket had been in my family for generations, passed down from mother to daughter, and my mom had given it to me before she passed. She said, one day, you'll know the right person to give this to. I'd kept it tucked safely in the box ever since. It wasn't just...
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Just a piece of jewelry, it was a piece of her, of our family history. But when I opened the box that day, the locket was gone. At first, I thought I was imagining things. I tore the box apart, carefully searching through every corner, but it wasn't there. I checked the drawers where I kept the box, the shelves, even the floor around it, nothing. My heart sank as the realization hit me, someone had taken it. The only person who'd been in my apartment recently, besides my family and close friends, was Lydia. My stomach churned as I pieced it together. She'd come over a few days after the breakup to drop off the engagement ring. She'd asked to use the bathroom before she left, and I'd thought nothing of it at the time. But now it all made sense. I grabbed my phone and texted her, "Did you take the locket from my mom's keepsake box?" A few minutes later, she replied, "What are you talking about? I didn't buy it for a second. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The locket my mom left me. It's gone. You're the only person who's been in my apartment recently. Did you take it?" She didn't respond right away, but when she did, her message made my blood boil. "I borrowed it because I wanted to keep a piece of her with me. I thought it would help me feel closer to you." Borrowed? She borrowed it without asking, without even telling me. I couldn't believe the audacity. I called her immediately. When she picked up, she sounded defensive, like she was the victim in all of this. "Michael, it's not a big deal," she said. "I was going to give it back." "Not a big deal?" I snapped. "That locket has been in my family for generations. It's not some trinket you can just take because you feel like it. How could you even think that was okay?" "I just wanted to feel connected to you," she said, her voice trembling like she was trying to play the sympathy card. "I didn't think you'd notice." "Of course I'd notice," I shouted. "It's my mom's. And the fact that you didn't think to ask me first makes it even worse." She started crying at that point, but I wasn't in the mood to comfort her. "Where is it?" I demanded. "It's at my parents' house," she admitted through sobs. "I didn't want to lose it, so I left it there for safekeeping." That was the last straw. "You took something that didn't belong to you, something that means more to me than you'll ever understand, and you just left it at your parents' house? Are you kidding me?" "I'm sorry," she whispered. "Sorry doesn't cut it," I said, my voice cold. "I'm coming to get it now." An hour later, I was pulling up to Jack and Donna's house. My anger had only grown during the drive, and by the time I knocked on the door, I was ready to explode. Donna opened it, her fake sweet smile fading when she saw the look on my face. "Michael," she said cautiously, "what are you doing here?" "I'm here to get my mom's locket," I said bluntly. "Lydia told me it's here." Donna's face shifted into a mix of confusion and annoyance. "Lydia took a locket? Why would she just get it?" I interrupted. She narrowed her eyes but stepped aside to let me in. A few minutes later, Lydia came downstairs holding the locket in her hand. Her eyes were red and her face was blotchy, but I didn't care. All I saw was the locket dangling from her fingers like it was nothing. "Tear here," she said, holding it out to me. I snatched it from her hand and inspected it, making sure it was the same one. When I was satisfied, I stuffed it in my pocket and turned to leave. "Oh, Michael, wait," she said, her voice desperate. "Fritch, I didn't mean to upset you. I was just trying to save it," I said, cutting her off. "Connie Hsu stole from me, Lydia, from my mom. Like, what you'd already done wasn't enough." Her face crumpled, and she started crying again. But I didn't stop. I walked out the door, slamming it behind me. In the days that followed, I blocked her number, deleted her messages, and cut off every possible way for her to contact me. I was done with her, her family, and all the drama they brought into my life. Calling off the wedding had been hard, but this was the final nail in the coffin. And as tiring as it was, it also felt like closure. I'd stood up for myself, for my mom, and for the values she'd instilled in me. I knew I'd made the right choice. And for the first time in a long time, I felt at peace.